joy and understand that we are beautiful and I'm just saying I'm grateful for your kind attention. I hope that we're all getting saved. Sometimes it takes just a moment or two to get all of this stuff squared away, so I hope that you will bear with us if you would please. First thing that I want to do is look at his chart of Ephesians number 45, Ephesians 1:13-14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, in chart number 45. Friends, I want you to look here. And I want you to notice here. This is what Mr. Webster says. I guarantee you that both have been not agreeing with very much with this man, but he's not. He says it is difficult to decide whether or not to control their own soul. This is even with a pronoun. And they are saying he can want their people to know everything they agree with the gender of their father's soul, spirit, or whether only they know the fire of attraction to sin. Well, the first thing I want to ask you, my friend, how do they have any idea that any difficulty in terms of anything? How do they know that he does not refer to that? How do they know that he does not say exactly what it says in the text that they're looking at? How do they know that? Well, this is sort of a majority of thought. Now, friend, you can use the same effects that Chris said that God wants you to go that direction. I stand prepared to go that direction. Because I know a little bit about it, maybe just about that much. But I do know something about it, and I would ask you to consider very carefully. I would ask you to look very closely at this idea. Look at the idea that there are every slave. We don't know. It's just opposition, and it is just something that we're merely guessing at. That's what they want to say. The only thing they know here is that it was changed. That as a kid, it did not come out like it should have been, or as it was originally written. Friends are disconfused of very nature of vertical inspiration. If we cannot be correct about this, if we have to wander around in a world of confusion all the time, worried about whether we really have a copy of at least of the original word, where are we going to go? We're going to be like a rat in a maze, friends. And this idea here of casting down on that is nothing more than those who at least inject continually in these new versions, those footnotes that constantly cast doubt on whether we really have the Bible. And so this is really no argument about that. Now, if they are the attraction, it's just simply saying, this doesn't teach what my doctrine teaches, and I've got to get around it, so I honor a various idea. Now, I want Brother Pike to get up here and show us what are the rules for attraction. What are the rules that we can look at to know whether it is attractive? And that is that this particular pronoun was attracted to its fantasy. And as well as not in the case that it ought to be, and yet there is this concept. And so I would reject that with our hesitation, friend, because the idea is that we really can't know what God wants us to know. We're just drowned in confusion. Well, let's go, if you would please, Brother Rod, to the next chart that he had that we call for. And this is all right, chapter 5, verse 15. Now, friends, the fact of the matter is, in the statement the Apostle Peter made, he made the statement that we are witnesses as also in the Holy Ghost. When he said this idea of witness not having anything to do with this life, friends, it has everything to do with it. Do you want to have a way that would be their cause from the rest of the sentence? What was Peter's argument? You, the Sanhedrin Council, you chief priests have told us, don't preach in his name. We ought to obey God rather than man, answered the apostle. They refer to the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And remember, within the context, there is a conflict of authority. Do I mind the Jewish leaders, or do I obey God? And the Apostle Peter calls upon something that was absolutely undeniable, friends. We, that is, both apostles and others who might have seen the resurrected Lord, we are witnesses of this, and so also is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said they would do in John 15, verses 25 and 26, that you would testify, and the Holy Spirit would testify. Peter is saying that what Jesus said we would do in John 15, 25 and 6 is exactly what we're doing in Acts chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, what I'm saying is this sort of come on here has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with that. Because Peter used this particular call right here to show, you know, to show how we, you can take the fact that we're possible or collectively as a New Testament church, it brings no difference.
us. We have the miraculous power. That's what he is saying. And friends, that was a telling argument. They understood it. That's why they took down the whole thing. This way, they didn't know. I'm repeating what I know. Consider a brother of God, a man, and the brother of the Apostle Peter standing before this group. And they are arguing their case. Here, what I'm going to use is, I'm not the person in God. I'm not the person of the Holy Spirit in me. There is no sinner for something whatsoever. You can't see anything outside. You have to prove this. All I have to do is accept it because God's Word is filled which is enough. For that all the Spirit does, which I am receiving, which takes place in heaven, according to what the text here. And then you imagine in your mind that these people would become so angry that they would want to kill Brother Brad. Now here's Peter saying, we've got the miracles. We've got everything. We're showing it. You can't deny it. And so when we look at that, then we need to look very closely at that. So if you would, let's get that particular chart there, if you would, please. Okay, thank you. Notice if you would, please, here. Acts 9, verse 32. Where is witnesses? John 15, 46 and 47 said that he shall testify of me as the Spirit of truth, and you also shall bear witness. That's what Peter is arguing in Acts 9, 42. He says, no, that is a personal indwelling, the person of the Holy Spirit for the 21st century. The fact that is, my friends, don't ever forget that. And perhaps some other folks who have problems of stating that because I like what I do. Notice here, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we have left so great salvation? The salvation that is in Christ, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with what it pleased by the miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 15, verses 26 and 7, Jesus says, this is what you will do. Abraham chapter 2 says, this is what we've done. And in Acts 5 and verse 2, the Apostle Peter called upon that very concept of the miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit living in the first century. And they took counsel to kill him. I don't know what kind of proof you need for that, but this whole idea, I'll guarantee you that he would argue what they said, that they would not have taken counsel. Well, I don't want to go. So let's see. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 38, if you would. I want to notice this particular idea. I don't think you've got it there. Let's go with that again. Notice, my friends, that he keeps presenting the idea that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself. In fact, any time you come across, there might be exceptions to this, but the Holy Spirit was given for a bad thing to the back of the person of the person of anybody. Well, look at this, my friend. We pointed out last Monday and last Tuesday that the background of Acts 2 is Joel 2. It is a great and effective space that was there at that particular time. All prophecies pointed forward to it, and everything points back to it. Because here, Jesus Christ, for the first time, is proclaimed as the Savior of the world. As we look at this, then we need to understand that Joel 2 is the background. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. These men are not like you think they are, but your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall bring dreams. Now, this year, he gets down in Acts 2, verse 38, and he says, we're going to be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That wants to say, if I take my part, then I cannot say that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit in his miraculous works. Well, friends, I can make the same argument if he, as he was in Mark chapter 16, verses 15, 16, and verse 12. Where there, the Lord is recorded as saying, go preach the gospel. And then in verse 17, he will say, and these signs shall follow them. The miraculous manifestation. A Pentecostal preacher is going to ask, hey, why did you stop reading up there? It seems that they're wanting to say, but Brother Pan is saying to me, that they're all, as it were, universal, they all refer to the same thing. Now, friends, I'll tell you what. The gift of the Holy Spirit, that phrase is found twice. And it is all found in miraculous manifestations. The working of the Holy Spirit in his miracles. Furthermore, as we think of this, all of you that are not there, help us here if you would please. They're going to be our children. God was a past and remember the previous year we heard from him. Now he goes back and he says, well, Tom, I found there is no great teach posterity. That's not what I said. I didn't say that. I think on that Greek term that is translated, your children can actually look up and find it is something that refers to posterity. Not this here, my friend, for the promise is unto you. That's the Jews that were there, that particular group of people that were. And for your children, I can argue that your children refer to one generation. Joel, my friends, is the background of Acts 2. And when I look at Joel and see what Joel has to say about the names of the children, would that be too far-fetched? No. Tell me your children out there, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. According to the Passover translation, this would have to be tell your children out there, and let your posterity tell their posterity. And all down the line of things, that's not what he said. You tell it to your children, and let your children tell their children, and later to another, how he does the promises unto you, and your children, and all of them are afar off, and against the Gentile world. Now, that's it, they say, no, but talk your way to live in it. Well, that's what we promised. For the promises unto you and your children, and all that are afar off, as many as. Now, friend, he wants to say that because everybody that obeys the gospel has that promise. Anybody that can say anything, understand that when you use the term, as many as there is a limitation, there is a smaller group as compared to a bigger group. As many as. And he wants to say that because everyone who believes the gospel and who responds in an affirmative way. But friends, I'm asking you to look at this. Notice he said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters. Who is that? Aren't your children there? Notice here Jesus turns to these ways as he's on the way to the cross. And he says, don't wait for me, wait for yourself and for your children. There was a great calamity that was on the horizon, my friend, and as a nation, they were about to, as it were, pass away. Well, considering the idea there, that the miraculous background of Acts chapter 2, now we specifically stand, his power comes, there's the tongues, there's the speaking in tongues, and seven of our things, a flame of fire, as it were, and then all of this, and then the Apostle Peter tells him, could we fail to be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ? I asked Pat the other night. I said, Pat, why in the sermon recorded by Luke in Acts 2 would point one to the idea of the miraculous part of the person and wedding according to Peter view? And he said, the whole chapter. Now, friends, there's nothing mentioned in there. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises unto you, your children, all the men that are above all. There it goes to the Gentile. Every Gentile. No, I didn't go in for every single individual that was there. I keep bringing up the idea. John the Baptist said, he, Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Does that mean everyone else was baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire also? Well, certainly not. It's a selectivity, a figure of speech. Some would be baptized with fire, some would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so you, your children, and them that are up on all, every single Gentile, absolutely. Well, how much time do I have now? 5 minutes. All right. Let's look very hardly then at this idea of Joel chapter 2. And let's look at verse 36. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 32. Notice here, he says that salvation, man, I do not deny that salvation is under consideration. In fact, that is the whole thing. We have to be baptized for the remission of sin. Look at Joel 2, verse 33. And it shall come to pass that waters are called in the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant, who's the remnant? Of the Lord shall call to be sent. About me, my friends, notice the idea, as many as the Lord our God shall call catch deliverance. Salvation, I don't deny that, but I believe it. Friends, the question under consideration tonight is the vibrantly inflowing of the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Pat and Brother Barry is passing energy at the greatest time, and he affirms that there is no room to be obvious. He admitted in the last piece of Luke chapter 11, God's defining some miraculous, some that are dispensational in nature, not kingdom come, but he says that is the rest of it. My friend, I want you to pray. But I want you to ask, notice here. Here it is. Those that have. Think about that. Those that have. Now here we have corrected this. We apologize for this. And if we ask, there's the same word. According to his will. I'll ask you a question. Can an individual today ask for the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit and be according to the will of God? Exactly, huh? And that's why we say that it is disconcerting. You can bring us here, and that's his argument. He's obedient. You can ask there, he's obedient to my God. Now, notice the idea of this presentation. The new definition of that thing, if we know what we can ask according to his will, it doesn't make sense. That is a dispensational passion. It refers the spirit that is there under consideration refers to the spirit as he would reveal and as he would as he would confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a man for very good reasons. Consider here, by kingdom come, there is hope. There is the problem that we're going to have with all this. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. Now, to be able to ask him, we've already shown him, we asked according to his will. They could in the first century, but it did in Acts 8. And the Spirit came upon those Samaritans. So, here it is again. We have this mechanism. We have the Apostle overturned by arguments. It is still true that the Holy Spirit dwells through the Word. And we have shown in various responses that we have given that it is not the person of the Holy Spirit himself, but if it is, that is a dispensational or those are dispensational passages, and they refer to a special time period. And there are these promises of the Holy Spirit out of their miraculous context and to put them into the 21st century. Now, there is a mechanism that is for delay. Is love according to that which is right. Well, let's see if there's anything else. Considering the thought, excuse me, what chapter 8, the devil, did you say he didn't like that? The idea is that you argued that this children was a little bit from the giving of the well, you don't have time to do that. But you remember what we said that relative to Revelation chapter 2:13? Satan, well, jealousy dwell as a dominating force, as that which is the dominant power at that time. Well, then, if we turn that around and we see that it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit who dwells in us, and we allow the Word of God to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. That's what we're looking at. That, my friends, is the way the Spirit of God dwells in us. Not literally, not personally. I still say, there's only one way, my friends, that deity, the spirit of deity, can dwell in the human body. And that's through the miraculous. That's the only way. I would ask you to consider very, very seriously that particular thought. One other question that I would love. I'm sorry. One other thing that I want to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 49. My friends, passages are dispensational. In this miraculous context, in with the miraculous gifts,